Welcome to Buy Sci-Fi Bite-Sized Finance. I'm Kelly Brothers. I'll be your host, serving up some of the most succulent stories from our region about people, places, and things that impact our community and your financial well-being. I'm sure there will even be a few tasty surprises here and there when the recipe is right. Our goal is to have you learn, think, even laugh a little bit, all calorie-free. I know you'll enjoy what we're delivering right to your kitchen table or dining room or, sir, will you be eating in your car? Wherever you choose to listen.
Back again on Bite Size Finance with the one and only Greg Lukenbill. And Greg, we have to talk about the news of the day. Usually we try not to do this because this is a podcast. People listen to it months or years after the fact. So we will state up front that we are doing this in the immediate aftermath of the Oakland Athletics announcing they will no longer be the Oakland Athletics after this year. They're going to be moving to Sacramento. They are just going to be the Athletics. They're going to be here for 3 years, maybe a fourth, while they, to their hope, finish a stadium in Las Vegas and move to Vegas. So we have to talk about baseball because, Greg, back when you were originally building out ARCO, I mean, baseball was a part of that plan for a long time, wasn't it?
Well, my whole effort originated with baseball. There was a little ballpark in 1978 that the county had agreed to fund that was already in place, a minor league facility. And before it got under construction, Prop 13 hit on June 6th of 78 and wiped out the $4 million that had already been funded for the stadium. They took the money back and used it to put it in the general fund and wiped out the stadium. I ended up hooking up with Pat Malarkey, the supervisor, who was the same guy, by the way, who took County Hospital and created the UC Davis facility campus out of that in 1970, believe it or not. And I got to know Pat, very close to Pat, and that led to an effort to – the Bradshaw Stadium site didn't last very much longer, and so I ended up buying a piece of property at I-80 and I-5 that year, and subsequently in 79. It was all about baseball. I mean, our whole focus was on baseball. It started with baseball. I grew up with baseball. I grew up with the Solons leaving in 1960 and the stadium getting torn down in 1962, and – you know, who wasn't in love with baseball? Baseball was and probably still is America's most significant sport in the context of its impacts on communities because of the 81 games a year that brings the whole country in.
Yeah, and Sacramento's always been truly a baseball town. Sacramento has loved baseball going back as far as any of us can remember. So what do you think, Greg? I mean, do you think that this move by the Athletics to come to West Sacramento and to play at Sutter Health Park and to bring in the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rangers and
all that. Isn't that fantastic?
Will this set the table and establish that? Will Sacramento be able to establish itself as being a future MLB town?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, it's kind of interesting because it reminds me of the temporary arena that I brought the Kings into, right? So here you got a temporary baseball stadium. Who knows what that could become? And who knows how things are going to evolve in more ways than I can tell you, even with the Vegas stadium, although they don't fool around in Nevada. They get shit done over there. They really do. So the point is that this is really, no matter how you slice it, thank you, Vivek Ranadive, Martina Colakatronis, and the people behind the Kings organization that have facilitated this happening for Sacramento and West Sacramento, for that matter. West Sacramento is huge in this. And it is fantastic for Sacramento economically for the very reasons you just articulated, which is that there are more home Major League Baseball games in every season in Major League Baseball than there are in all of the NFL, the NBA, and the MLS, Major League Soccer, combined. Think about the impact of that. So that will have a huge impact on the economic tourism of Sacramento. People come, and it's our chance to maybe build another hotel or two, maybe expand our footprint a little bit more to grow up a little bit because we're way behind the curve. And so, you know, in 88, when I tried to bring the All-Star game here, and then just a few years ago, the Kings tried to do the same thing with Golden One, which is a world-class facility, still couldn't get it for economic reasons. You know, predominantly no hotels, second-rate tourism opportunity for the NBA, and so they just wouldn't do it as much as they wanted to. We're the only team in the history of the NBA, and at the moment, who has not had the All-Star game. So, yeah, this is fantastic. The baseball thing for Sacramento, with the A's in particular, which is something I'm very close to. I actually had an opportunity to buy the A's in 1978 from Charlie Finley for $10 million. 2 years later, he sold it to the Haas family, Wally Haas, for $12.2 million. And the March on Baseball we did in 1987, where we took 22,000 from people and filled the upper deck there. And I have one of the most, probably the greatest letter I've ever got from Sandy Alderson from the A's about the way that event was conducted and the impact it had on them and the facility and the organization of that event, and which is a keepsake for me personally. But yeah, baseball is huge for Sacramento. It's probably more important than any other sport we've ever had in terms of the impact that it has on the overall economic impact. And honestly, the baseball's history has been phenomenal in terms of integration and everything else related to diversity. So it's a perfect moment for Sacramento. I think it's the greatest thing that's happened here in the last 40 years.
Well, it's also, you know, I love the geography of it. I mean, you've got Sutter Health Park just on the other side of the river. So it really kind of marries West Sac and Sacramento. I can only imagine the energy of that part of Sacramento in April or May if you have the Kings in the playoffs and you have the A's playing Major League Baseball on the same day. That place would explode. But let's be honest about this. Number one, you know, there's a lot of people who think, oh, we could just put up a second deck in that stadium. I'm not sure that works. I'm not sure Sacramento could even make do with an open-air stadium. I mean, when you think about playing day games in July and August, that's a tough road to hoe when it's 105, isn't it?
Well, it, you know, it's a dry heat here, and that's a truthful statement. It really is a dry heat here in Sacramento, so it's not quite as bad as it is in other parts of the country, particularly in the South and the East on the Atlantic Ocean, along the Atlantic Ocean, where the humidity is much different than it is out here, compliments of, you know, the cold air coming from down the Pacific. But still, heat's heat. And I think that could, I think heat's the least of our concerns, to be honest with you about that. I think there's a number of other issues that are logistical issues related to the sustained traffic problems that's going to create. There's going to be the far greater short-term issues. But yeah, I hope they can expand the capacity over there, get it up to maybe 25, 30,000 with temporary bleachers or something, because I think it'll sell out. I mean, I think Sacramento would be more than competitive with Oakland in terms of attendance any day of the week or year, for that matter, as it relates to the kind of
support. Oh my gosh, Vacaville would have been competitive with Oakland. Oakland's got 3,800 people the second game of the year. I mean, it was horrible. It was pathetic. So
okay, so the bar is pretty low. I will acknowledge that the bar is pretty low, and so yes, it's not hard to beat that. But nonetheless,
there's never been a fear about Sacramento being able to fill the stadium in terms of fans. The question has been, in my mind anyway, and you correct me, that, you know, can the sponsorship dollars from Sacramento's corporate community come forward in order to make it a viable major league city? It's always been more.
So let me just say this, and this will probably wrap up the whole rest of the period here, but the short of it is that I used to do a lot of feasibility studies in the 70s and the 80s with Sanford Research Institute and did a lot of analysis that was built into how we made the decisions when we started out 70s, early 80s. And the economic footprint of Sacramento is very, we have more season tickets than any other franchise in the NBA, as an example, okay? And what we need here, and this, I got the city council to give Al Davis $50 million to move the team here, and it didn't happen because of the partnership issues. But the more important point is it was easy to convince the city to do that because you could demonstrate then and even more today the economic impact of something like that, right? So what we need to deal with the sponsorship dollars is collaboration on a regional kind of a state cog, area of council governments, you know, El Dorado, Placer, everybody would benefit from this. Yolo, even San Joaquin for that matter. And obviously, Yuba City and Marysville, or Sutter County, and so forth. That Gold Rush footprint, if you will, a little expanded footprint beyond Sacramento, can be arranged, Kelly, I think, because that's what we need to do. We need to expand our footprint economically to overcome the deficiencies we have for a lack of Fortune 1000 or Fortune, any major companies here. We don't have that sponsorship base that's needed desperately, no question about it. And so that's the challenge. How do we accomplish that? If we can solve that riddle, we're gonna hit a home run with baseball.
No, we got our shot. It's almost like we got our foot in the door, Greg. If you own the team right now, what would you do right now? What would you do to take advantage of the coming 3-year window to prove long-term viability, or I hate to say it, or to scuttle the deal with Vegas so they look at you more seriously? What would you do?
I'm not going to go into the history of that with the Giants, okay? But let's just say that, because I had a relationship with Bob Lurie, as you probably know, and the Haas family and the Aldersons. But the point, what I would do is this, okay? I would expand the seating in that facility and do what I can to sell it out. Because we have, there's no probably no city in the West Coast, or maybe even in the West, generally speaking, that has a better probability of selling that facility out. That's number one, okay? Number two, kind of like we did to incubate the dynamics of saving the Kings for David Stern and with David Stern and Kevin Johnson at the time, the reality of it is if we can demonstrate some kind of spontaneous combustion sponsorship support for an effort to keep the A's here, it will certainly leave a mark with Major League Baseball. And there's a lot of businesses around here that can participate in that kind of an effort. But again, it's got to be a collaborative, broader reach effort, because we just don't have the bandwidth or the depth economically to facilitate that the kind of outcome that we're talking about here without that kind of joint effort. City and a county, for example, combined, or the city and, you know, let's say Sacramento and Placer and El Dorado counties combined could do some magic that would overcome that.
A regional effort. You're absolutely right. Greg, always a pleasure, my friend. And whenever any of these moments happen, we can all look back and say, we know the guy who first brought big league pro sports to Sacramento, Greg Lukenbill. Great to have you on. Thank you so much. Let's do it again soon.
All right, Kelly. Thank you very much.
I'm Kelly Brothers of Cap Trust, and I get the question a lot. How do you pick an advisor that is right for you? I always suggest interview a few people. Go talk to a few people. The truth is, most people will spend more time planning their next weekend getaway than they will actually finding the advisor that is right for them, their family, the next generation, an advisor that may serve you for decades or a generation or more. It's an important decision. Sit down and talk to people. See if you feel comfortable talking to people. After all, this is all about the conversation, mitigating risks, and preparing for the future. Cap Trust, here in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom.
Thanks for listening to Buy Sci-Fi, Bite-Sized Finance. If you liked what we served up today, please give us your rating, subscribe, and by all means, share. Music for the show produced locally by Kitty O'Neill and her band, Skylar's Pool.
Under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, this podcast is defined as an advertisement and includes an uncompensated testimonial by a Cap Trust client. Please be advised that clients' experiences as described in this podcast do not necessarily represent the experience of other clients. The discussions and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speaker and are subject to change without notice. This podcast is intended to be informational only. Nothing in this podcast constitutes a solicitation, investment advice, or recommendation to invest in any securities. Cap Trust Financial Advisors is an investment advisor registered under the Investment Advisors Act of 1940. Cap Trust does not render legal advice. Thanks again for listening to Bite-Sized Finance.